This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA for his latest take on the markets today and look ahead to the week to come. Good afternoon to you, Nick.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Let's first talk about those PCE numbers, which came out earlier today where you are in the United States. Of course, this is the Federal Reserve's preferred measurement for inflation, and no big surprises there. But has this number had any repercussions for interest rates next month?
Yeah, Johnny. So as you mentioned, the Fed's quote-unquote preferred measurement of inflation, which is the personal consumption expenditure or PCE number, both the core number, which is heavily sought after by the Fed, and the headline number came in line with expectations. So in terms of your response, your question about a short-term response, not a very big one, right? So PCE year over year came in 2.6% compared to a forecasted 2.6%. The core PCE number came in at 2.9% compared to expectations of 2.9%. On an absolute basis, let's just think about where we're at with this. Inflation is not at the target of 2%. So we are still above in terms of what the Fed wants to see for inflation. But we also, in tandem with this, have seen some labor data that has concerned the Fed a little bit. And I think that where that takes us is you asked about the longer term implications to interest rates. I think that we are still, what this basically does is it continues to affirm, okay, Fed's probably going to cut a little bit this year, right? Because we now have seen and heard to the appeasement of many, I guess, that the Fed is now attuned or paying attention to the idea that, okay, yes, the labor data is cooling and inflation, yes, is still kind of sticky, but we've made progress there and we do have a dual mandate on our hands. The Fed does not want to see economic slowdown kind of accelerate in any way. And so they are looking at labor data, which is cooling a little bit, right? Just pull up a historical chart of the JOLTS job openings in the US, look at the NFP report month over month and all the revisions that we've seen. There's concern on the labor data side that the Fed has now paid more attention to, I think, and is why we are still seeing probabilities. I think yesterday I checked, I imagine it's mostly the same since PCE was in line with expectations. I also looked at yields this morning, which were pretty unchanged, and expectations for rate cuts are still hovering around an 85% chance that we are going to see a rate cut in September. And I think the consensus is currently floating around two rate cuts by end of year, by that December meeting. So we are expecting rate cuts, not fast, not slow, but rate cuts. And I think what we need to pay attention to as traders, investors, people watching the markets, is to see what comes next with the labor statistics data or inflation data. Let me give you an example. Let's say that we get NFP at the turn of the month, right? We've got NFP next week. Let's say that we get an NFP report that comes in and it is pretty rough, right? If the jobs data really worsens, like we already saw this last couple NFP reports, we've had some shaky data. If you come in and you have an even worse data point to come in line with that expectation, there's a possibility that we bump that up to three rate cuts by end of year. Or if it's bad enough, Johnny, we could see a 50 basis point cut, right? So it's not off the table that if labor data trends worse or increases to the downside. And I did hear one other thing I wanted to mention on the labor side is we've talked about this in the past, how much of the Fed, how much data do they have that is not, you know, necessarily a public information? Is there the question that maybe Jerome Powell made this little tilt a little bit more dovish because he has some insights on what the labor data is going to look like? Maybe it is continue to soften. He's like, oh, I got to get out in front of this before it gets too late. My speculation, of course, not financial advice, is that we may see continuation in the cooling of the labor data that may get the attention of the Fed. And I think that we do have the possibility to see two to even three rate cuts by end of year, depending on the data, of course.
It's funny, Nick, how these conversations seem to ebb and flow every few weeks, because one minute we're saying, well, maybe just maybe one or two more cuts this year. Now you're veering towards three. I mean, it's a very reactive science, this, isn't it? It does make one a little bit cynical because, you know, you think to yourself, we kind of know where we are, but we don't really, do we?
That's right. And comparing it to a science is, it's funny because economics in general, when trying to predict what the Fed's going to do, or rather what the Fed is thinking to do themselves, the challenge that they have that perhaps is different than like biology or chemistry or something is that this science involves trying to predict the future. And the future is really difficult to do, right? Because you can have something like, you know, maybe Putin decides to change up his tone on Ukraine, or maybe you have oil prices shoot up, or maybe China and the US get into it again. Like, there's all these dynamics that are very difficult to sort of predict, and the Fed kind of has to weigh its options. I think that if the Fed is being data dependent, as they have kind of claimed, that is taking the rear view mirror approach. You're saying, I'm going to look at the data as it's come in, and I'm going to make decisions going forward based on what I see in the past. There's pros and cons to doing that. The pros, major pros of being data dependent, which I think the Fed probably should be because predicting the future is so hard, is, you know, the advantage of that is to say, okay, whatever the data shows, that's how we're going to adjust. But making these predictions, which has, you know, caused the White House to be all up in arms, right? Oh, tariff inflation is going to do this, or, you know, making these sorts of predictions, or back in the COVID days when, you know, we called, or Jerome Powell called inflation transitory, those predictive measurements can be very, very difficult. And if you are wrong, it can punish you pretty bad in terms of what it can do to the economy. And oh, I should say it can punish all of us pretty bad if inflation gets out of hand, or labor data really slides. So something to think about is, of course, you know, that data dependency approach, I do think is the safer route for the Fed. Of course, there's criticism to that too, which is, you know, you're not looking ahead of you, you're looking behind you. So pros and cons to everything. I also just wanted to make a quick mention to yesterday's data point. Since we've talked, we did get the preliminary GDP numbers, which came in better than expected at 3.3% compared to the forecast of 3.1%. So that's their GDP revisions quarter over quarter, which were a positive revision. So we look a little bit better there. Unemployment claims also came in pretty much in line with expectations. So nothing flaring up too much on that side as well.
So you've already mentioned next week's non-farm payroll, and all eyes will be on that, of course. What else should we look out for over the next few days?
Yeah, so big one, of course, next week being the NFP report. On Tuesday, we also get ISM manufacturing PMIs out of the United States. We get some RBA speeches, GDP numbers as well from Australia. We have JOLTS job openings on Wednesday of next week for the U.S. We get CHF, this is Switzerland CPI. We get ADP, non-farm employment change on Thursday. Unemployment claims, the weekly number, services PMI for US. And then to end out the week, we get both Canadian and US employment data.
Excellent stuff. Nick, have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.